Today's psalm says, "He makes marvelous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." Sometimes it's hard to reconcile the image of God when my daily life consists of worry and anxiety about what could happen in the future. Worrying is a wasted emotion, right? Worrying takes you out of the present and places you in a future that you can't control. Worrying creates anxiety and causes overthinking that can't be stopped. Worrying makes your leg bounce uncontrollably. Worrying happens to all of us, and we've all pretty much accepted it. Being 17, though, makes worrying anxiety even worse. I mean, I worry about everything. I'm constantly hearing, "Stop bouncing, you're shaking the whole table," from my mom, "and everything will be all right, sweetie," from my dad. Worrying has consumed my life, but it wasn't until recently that I realized that it needed to change. This past fall, my sister went through a very emotional time. She got to a point where she honestly believed that nothing was going to get better. Her beautiful blue eyes were filled with tears, and her usually smiling face was buried in my sweatshirt because anything else made her sadder. I can't even describe the overwhelming sense of sadness and hopelessness I felt. How could my innocent and precious little sister feel this way? You can't help but feel like it's your fault and you could have done something to help. But I knew I couldn't show that. I had to be strong for her. We went through an incredible roller coaster, and every day brought on something new. She worked, and she wanted to get better. She wanted to be the happy, smiling girl she had been. She helped me not worry. She taught me that everything will work out, and that I shouldn't worry about what's going to happen next, and focus on taking the moments as they come. She proved that it's possible to get through something without focusing on what's going to happen the next day. I think about how worried I was about her, and whether or not she'd be okay. Looking back, I realized that it's human nature to do that. But I've also realized that I was so concerned with what she could be feeling or what could happen that I failed to realize and fully appreciate the positives. She was in a safe place, and I knew she was strong. The experiences I've faced this past fall have taught me that no matter what the circumstances, I can make it through each moment and feel good as the next moment comes. Every contemplation of worry comes with a choice. You can accept it and live with it, or you can understand that there's nothing you can do to change anything any faster and get past it. Both things are hard, and trust me, that is one of the hardest decisions I have to make. I can't help but think why it took such a dramatic moment to make me not okay with worry. Living in the moment is so much harder when you're already expecting the next moment to come. Webster Oaks High School lost 14-year-old Elaine to cancer at the beginning of the year. And even though I didn't know her personally, people always talked about how positive she stayed throughout her various treatments and hardships. Her next moment wasn't guaranteed, so she didn't take that for granted. She rolled with the punches, and when her time came, she was able to be comfortable. It's terrible to take something so bad to make us appreciate the moments we have, but I think God uses them as teachable moments. Teaching us not to take things for granted, even the little things, and that even though something may be hard or boring or sad, we have to take that situation and appreciate it for what it is. We can learn from every struggle and apply it to our next ones. God has a funny way of showing he loves us, but by having to go through what she did and by the loss of Elena, I have more than ever felt his love. Without his love, I wouldn't be able to stay strong. Because of his love, I've been able to prevent my worrying and live and appreciate every moment I've given. Worrying is no longer a wasted emotion because that is not something I do.
In life, we do things. Some we wish we'd never done, and some we wish we would replay in our heads millions of times. And in the end, they all make us who we are. I'm the captain of the cheer team. I took it upon myself to act, as well as put together and direct, a one-act play for my school. And to top it off, I took a math class where the only thing I know for sure is if I seem to understand it, I'm doing it wrong. Senior year is the hardest yet. I was lucky enough to find the things I love while I'm still in high school. I love to draw, I love to act, and oddly enough, I loved math. I could do it, and I thought as long as I could use a paintbrush, recite a monologue, and make everything equal to X, life would figure itself out. But painting takes time. You can't nail every audition, and some crazy mathematician thought it was a good idea to convert things into radians. People ask me all the time, "You've been accepted into college. Why would you do that to yourself? And if we're being honest here, I don't really know. Things are hard, and I really miss my free time. But that doesn't mean I regret giving it away. Regret. It's a waste. I refuse to see anything as use of my time, but an opportunity. And extraordinarily thankful I am for that opportunity. We can't hope we did something different, or wait for these perfect moments to happen. We must take every moment that happens to us and make them perfect. It's not the amount of good things that happen to a person to make their life beautiful. You live a beautiful life when you can see the things that are happening as beautiful. Knowing the way of the Lord, understanding his disciples, and the facts about the Bible is not the same thing as feeling his presence in your life. I have been extraordinarily blessed with beautiful things, for the people in my life, and the ability I have to do these things. Maybe I am crazy, but why think about it? Instead of wishing I had done something different, I'm proud of who I am and what I do. Thankful I get to cheer for the parents who catch me off guard in my uniform and take pictures to show my aunts and uncles how proud they are. For the friends who show up to my one-act performances with t-shirts to say, "Go Claire!" And for the opportunity I have to be able to go to this school, to have paintings to paint, to have monologues to recite, and to have units to convert. I am going to be proud for my parents who sacrificed everything for me so I can learn about logistic functions, even if they make no sense to me. Even if I can never understand for my life what an asymptote is, I know that my parents are proud of me that I'm trying my hardest. For simply having food to eat, a roof over my head, that's a beautiful life. I can read the Bible, I can understand what Jesus did and how great he is, but it's waking up in the morning in my house with my amazing friends and family and these wonderful opportunities, that's when I experience his love. The Corinthians says, anyone who claims to know something does not have the necessary knowledge, but anyone who loves God is known by him. We all need love in our lives, but we can't wait for that to become apparent. The knowledge of what good things are or what you have to do to be better is not getting any of us anywhere. It's when I realize how truly blessed I am that I know God and I am loved by him. The things you get or the things you know are not what make your life beautiful. It's the ability to see everything presented in your life as a beautiful thing.
In 2010, my grandma, one of my biggest role models, died of cancer. Shortly before her death, on the weekend of Mother's Day, we flew to New York City to visit her in the hospital. I was 13 and my brother was 11. We really wanted to spend time with our grandma, we called her Mama, but when she needed a break from visitors, we spent time in the recreational hall downstairs. That was where I met one of the most amazing humans I've ever crossed paths with. My brother and I were sitting at a table, talking, doodling with pens and paper, when a woman came and sat with us. She was drawing, with chalk on paper, but she was drawing upside down. She was copying a piece of artwork that had been printed offline, which was also upside down. She immediately started talking about what she was doing. She said she was drawing upside down because it made it easier to relieve her stress. Normally, when we draw things, we concentrate too much on what the end is going to look like. But here, in the hospital, we need to avoid doing that, she explained. The hospital is one of the most difficult places to be, and we all need to relieve it in some way. By shifting the perspective of the drawing, we are encouraged to focus on the beauty of each moment of drawing it instead of just focusing on what the outcome will look like. Finally, she finished her drawing. She flipped it upside down, and it was a lovely picture of a bird. The drawing was beautiful, but the meaning behind it was even better. She got my brother and me the supplies we needed to make our own upside down drawings, and it ended up being the most stress-free part of our trip there. We got a little bit obsessed with this act of drawing with chalk upside down, and every picture we made, we gave to Mama to hang in her hospital room. We even went to the art store and bought our own chalk and drawing paper so that we could draw when we went home. This lady taught me more than just stress-relieving tactics. She taught me about changing my perspective on life. She taught me that when things are rough, we can shift our perspective. I think that this is what Paul is describing to the Corinthians. Even though Paul knew that it didn't matter if the people ate the food offered to the idols or not, he said nothing because he didn't want to hurt them or pull them away from their faith in the true God. By doing this, he switched his perspective. He knew that even though the knowledge he possessed helped him with his faith, it would have hurt the others. While the lady I met in the hospital could have dwelled on the fact that she was sick and let that consume her, she didn't. She allowed herself to relieve her stress by shifting her perspective and living in the now rather than focusing on the ending. I learned at the end of the week that she had stage 4 breast cancer and was not showing the signs of improvement that the doctors had been hoping for. While she could have focused on that while she was there, she instead spent her time trying to help my brother and me cope with the stress of visiting a dying loved one. Paul says, "Knowledge puffs up, love builds up." This lady knew that she was sick, but instead she focused on spreading love and knowledge on my brother and me. I try to remember this message of perspective every time I feel anger or stress. When I think life is becoming unbearable and that the future is scary, I remember to focus more on the present and look at life from a different direction. When I'm in a disagreement with someone, I try to remember to see it from the other person's point of view. This is difficult for me because I often think that I'm always right. However, as Paul did, I have to remember that sometimes it is more important to shut my mouth and move on from a subject than bring others down with my words. By shifting my perspective, I am able to love more powerfully and grow from it. Amen.